In your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. Joined a couple of years ago with several of the members from Gray Mare going to Kayenta and the Navajo Reservation that most of us, a lot of us know anyway, Josh and Divine, Austin and their girls, as they work on the reservation there in the congregation in Kayenta. And Josh and Divine have been here to visit us on several occasions. And I think Josh has preached from this pulpit at least on a couple of different occasions. One of the things I found of interest when we were there was that the Navajo Indians, or many of them anyway, are shepherds. They are a shepherd nation. And so the gang with me gave me a hard time about taking a picture of every sheep I passed along the way, but I enjoyed taking pictures because there were sheep everywhere. It was hard to see the shepherds because they would hide from those of us who had cameras. But as I thought about that, that came back to my mind. Cindy and I are getting ready, Lord willing, to go back in about 2 or 3 weeks. I'm doing a gospel meeting there, and so we're looking forward to going back and visiting with the brethren there. And I kind of had that on my mind, and as I made preparations for this lesson, those events came back to my mind, and I thought about the things I saw as I saw the sheep and the shepherds and the care that was involved in that. We're beginning a study today. We'll look at this morning, tonight, and next week, focusing on elders. Our elders are beginning a process, and one of them will get up next week and talk to you more about that process. But we're beginning a process of looking at potentially adding some additional elders. And so today we're going to focus on the work of elders. Next Sunday morning we're going to focus on the qualifications of elders, though I think some of the qualifications will come out during the process of our study today. And I'd like to focus especially on Acts chapter 20. So if you've got your Bible, let's read. First of all, I just want to note what's going on in verse 17, and then I'm going to start reading in verse 28. Acts chapter 20, verse 17, and then moving to verse 28. From Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called to him the elders of the church. Let me stop. The he being referred to here is Paul. Paul had preached at Ephesus. He became very close to the elders at Ephesus. He's traveling through this region on his way to Jerusalem. And when he stops at Miletus, he sends a message asking if the elders at Ephesus would meet him so he could share with them an important message. So here's his message starting in verse 28 of Acts chapter 20. Be on guard for yourselves and for the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. I know that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. And from among your own selves men will arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away the disciples after them. Therefore be on the alert, remembering that night and day for a period of 3 years I did not cease to admonish each of you with tears. And now I commend you to the God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own needs and to the men who were with me. And everything I showed you that by working hard in this manner, you must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. When he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them, and they began to weep aloud and embrace Paul and repeatedly kissed him, grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again, and they were accompanying him to the ship. Today I want us in the lesson this morning and tonight to look at three key words that are connected to the eldership in Acts chapter 20 and that are key words in the Bible in relation to this important office. And as we look at these three words in the lessons today, these are not words so much to describe an office as they are words that describe the character and work of those who fill this office. And so I think they give us an important window into this particular discussion. The one that I want us to focus on this morning is the one, in my opinion, that is most important in understanding the work of an elder. Whether you're a person thinking about becoming an elder or who has been asked or may be asked to be an elder, or whether it's those of us who follow the leadership of those who are our elders. And that word is the word shepherd. If you look in verse 28 of Acts chapter 20, Paul, as he's talking to the elders at Ephesus, he says to them, shepherd. In fact, you have the two words to shepherd here. This particular word is also used in 1 Peter chapter 5, I believe it's in verse 2, in connection with the eldership. This is the verb form. The noun form is found in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 11, and it is translated as pastor. The word pastor and the word shepherd come from the same Greek term. They refer to the same thing. So I want to take a few moments this morning and talk about the idea of elders as shepherds, specifically elders as soul shepherds. And as we focus on them as soul shepherds, I want us to use the letter P as our memory glue. We'll try to look at all four of these this morning. If not, we'll just come back and combine them in our study tonight. But I want us to see that elders or shepherds provide, shepherds protect, shepherds precede, and shepherds also are personal. So with those things in mind, let's dive into the text, and let's talk a little bit about what it means to be a shepherd. First of all, let's just talk about the term. Paul, again, not only uses it here in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, but as you can see hopefully on the screen, it's also found in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verses 1 and 2, specifically in verse 2. Look at what Peter says. Therefore, I exhort the elders among you as your fellow elder and witness of the sufferings of Christ and a partaker also of the glory that is to be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God among you, exercising oversight, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, and not for sordid gain, but with eagerness. Let's recognize that when Peter speaks to elders in 1 Peter chapter 5, he's speaking as a fellow elder. He is speaking as a kindred spirit, if you will. In other words, he is an elder as well. So he knows what he speaks of not only by inspiration, not only by guidance from Jesus, but by personal experience. And as he talks to them about being a shepherd, and he gives a summary of what it means to be a shepherd, here's something I find of interest. You'll notice also on the screen, John chapter 21. You remember that Peter denied knowing Jesus. He denied to the point of cursing that he knew Jesus. What's interesting to me is then, after the resurrection of Jesus, as some of the apostles, seven of them anyway, are fishing along the Sea of Galilee, Jesus appears to them, and remember, eats breakfast with them, and he begins to ask Peter some questions. And he says, Peter, do you love me? Because remember, Peter had said to Jesus, if everybody else forsakes you, if all the rest of these apostles, that's what he was saying, if all the rest of these guys deny you and let you down, I won't. If I have to die for you, I will die for you. And then, of course, we know what happened. He ended up denying that he knew Jesus. And so basically what Peter had said was, I love you more than all the rest of these guys. I will never let you down. And so Jesus kind of brings that back up as he's getting ready to go back into heaven because he needs to make sure, if you will, that Peter's sorted out. And so what he says is, Peter, do you really love me more than these? I think that's what he's talking about. I think when he said, do you love me more than these? My opinion is that he swept his hand around pointing at the other apostles. He says, and basically, do you remember you said if all of them forsook me, you wouldn't. But guess what you did? So, Peter, do you really love me more than these? And as Peter struggled to answer that, each time Jesus gave him direction on what to do. He said, tend my sheep. Tend my sheep. And then I want you to notice what he says. He says at the end of verse 16, shepherd my sheep. That is the exact same term that's used in Acts chapter 20, verse 28. And it's the exact same term that Peter himself uses in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2. In other words, as Jesus reminded Peter of what real commitment was all about, that it's not about saying something, it's about doing something, he says, Peter, if you really love me, then I want you to take care of my followers. I want you to shepherd and watch over my followers. And so that's what he did with his life. And years later, in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, when he's talking to other elders, he says, the same thing Jesus said. Jesus told him to shepherd. Now he told those elders to shepherd. And through the words of the New Testament, he calls on all elders to shepherd. If you want to look at a description of what a shepherd does and how a shepherd provides, really, I think there's a couple of passages you could go to. Anybody that's thinking about being an elder, read John chapter 10, as Jesus describes Himself as the Good Shepherd, and read the 23rd Psalm. Those are two great places that sum up what it means to be a shepherd and what it means to provide. You may remember in Psalm 23, He said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So why is it that you lack nothing? Okay, it talks about the fact that He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He's saying in essence, in part, that the shepherd, the great shepherd, has provided for His every need. And so He needs nothing. I want nothing. I'm not without in any area. And so that's what elders are about, if they're shepherds. If we take that word that is used to describe the work of elders at face value, that's what it means. It means that elders provide for people. They feed the sheep. They provide what they need. You may recall in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 2, it says of elders, they're to be apt to teach. In Titus chapter 1, I think it's around verse 9, he talks about that the elders are to hold fast the faithful word so that they can exhort and teach sound doctrine, that they need to know God's word and be able to teach God's word and be willing to share God's word with God's people. So when we talk about shepherding in a spiritual realm, we're not dealing with the same thing as we would in a physical realm. Like a shepherd makes sure that his sheep have pasture, they have grass to eat, they have water to drink. A shepherd of souls must make sure that God's people feed on God's Word. They must be able to teach and willing to teach, and in the act of teaching, and to do that, they must know God's Word. Not only must they feed the flock on God's Word and make sure that all teaching done for the flock is from God's Word and represents God's will, but they care for people physically and they care for people spiritually. Just a couple of examples of how we see in the Bible elders caring for people physically. You may recall in James chapter 5, it talks about if anyone is sick, let them call on the elders and the elders will pray for them. And it goes on to talk about in that passage about, anointing with oil. And time's not going to allow us to go into great detail into that. Anointing of oil was used in the New Testament times as a medicinal thing. It was used with open wounds, kind of like a Band-Aid would be used today. It was used ceremonially when you were appointing someone to a task. And then it was used miraculously. It is my belief that this last form is how it's used here, because in my belief many of the early elders had hands laid on them by apostles and had miraculous abilities, and so we won't get into a side discussion in that, but that is my personal opinion on what I think he's talking about. The point I want us to focus on for this morning is that when people are sick, he said, go to the elders and ask the elders to pray about it. We might also notice in Acts chapter 11, verses 29 and 30, remember, Paul and Barnabas had taken up a collection among the non-Jewish churches, and they were taking that money back to Jerusalem to help the Jewish Christians in Jerusalem. And it says when they got to Jerusalem, they put the money in the hands of the elders. The elders can play a pivotal role in helping people deal with the physical problems of everyday life. And prayer and management of the funds of the church and getting it in the hands of Christians who are suffering, those are just a couple of ways that that can happen. A lot of folks have worked very hard to make Giveaway Day a success. A lot of folks have worked very hard to make it possible for all those coats to be back in the fellowship hall. And I want to thank all of those who've been bringing in coats, not just today, but over the last several weeks and months. And my guess is every coat salesman for several hundred miles knows Glenna Fulks. I don't know that's for sure, but my suspicion is that they all know of her because she has worked so hard to bring in these coats. Now, our elders' willingness to support that and to be behind that and to encourage that is a part of fulfilling this aspect of what it means to be a shepherd. And so I just want us to realize, what I hope we see as we're talking about this, unfortunately, eldership is often viewed as a group of men who sit back in a room somewhere and make all these decisions about what color the carpet's going to be and what paint's going to be on the wall, and they sit back there detached from everybody else like a big board of directors. And that is absolutely not what a shepherd did. And I hope that's what we see as we walk through this. Shepherds were involved, shepherds were connected, and shepherds provided for the needs of the people. They not only provide physical needs, but more importantly, spiritual needs. Remember in Psalm chapter 23, it says, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. You may recall if you look over in Galatians chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, it talks about it. If anyone stumbles in sin, the idea is not of premeditated, willful, I don't want to follow God. It's a person who's trying to do right, and the idea is of stumbling, caught in a trap. It says, then let those who are spiritual restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Now, this would not be exclusively talking about elders. But it definitely would include elders when it says, let those who are spiritual restore them in a spirit of gentleness. Again, also we can go back to James chapter 5 when he talked about if someone's sick, call the elders and let them pray for them. And he goes on to say when the elders pray for them, it says, and if they have sinned, that lets us know that that doesn't necessarily mean that if somebody's sick, they're sick because they've sinned. But if they've also sinned in addition to being sick, then not only can the elders pray about their physical illness, but the elders can pray for their spiritual illness. And the text says they will be forgiven because the fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. The point is, the role of the shepherd was to provide for the sheep. And the role of soul shepherds is also to provide for God's people. Their mission is to shepherd souls to heaven. And they can play a role in helping people through physical struggles, emotional struggles, spiritual struggles most of all. As I think about our elders, I have seen our elders and other elders that I have worked with seeking to provide for people's needs. I've seen them at the funeral homes. I've seen them at the nursing home. I've seen them in assisted living homes. I've seen them in people's houses, visiting people who can't get out anymore, who are shut-ins. I've seen them praying by the bed of somebody going into surgery. I've seen them praying by the bed of a dying man. I've seen them do home Bible studies with people, teaching people who are not Christians about the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've seen them go into Bible classes and into pulpits and preach and share the gospel. I've seen them stand aside with a young man and encourage him for doing his first devotional on a Wednesday night. I've seen them mentor young people to be leaders for Christ and make a difference in His name. I've seen them gather in homes with young couples whose marriages are falling apart and to share with them from God's Word and their experience how that God has a different plan for their marriage and how they can be whole again by learning to live like Jesus. In my opinion, that's what a shepherd does. It's all about providing for the sheep. A second thing the shepherd does is a shepherd protects the sheep. Notice in Psalm 23 and verse 4, it says, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they protect me. And usually a shepherd had a little short club, and he usually had a staff, and that was used for guidance and for correction and for protection. It meant fear when it came to an animal that was trying to attack the sheep. It meant comfort for the sheep themselves. If we look over in John chapter 10, again, in my opinion, a great passage to learn about what it means to be an elder, to be a shepherd, because Jesus there is describing Himself as the good shepherd, and then He's going to describe what He, as the good shepherd, does, and He's going to contrast it with what bad shepherds do. And so it's a great place to learn. But look at what He says. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down His life for the sheep. A good shepherd wants so badly to protect the sheep that he's willing to die for the sheep. Now you need to remember, in ancient cultures, well I guess even shepherds today, you need to recognize the sheep represented the family's livelihood. Okay, when he's out in the middle of the field protecting the sheep, picture him as standing in front of a bank vault trying to guard the family funds from a robber. Because basically, everything the family has is wrapped up in those sheep. And so, when he's willing to die for the sheep, what he's basically saying is, I'm willing to die for my family. I'm willing to do whatever it takes to protect and take care of my family. And Jesus says that's what good shepherds do, and that's exactly on the cross of Calvary what He as the good shepherd did. Now, if elders are going to protect the sheep, they must first examine themselves and make sure that they're shepherds and not wolves. Look in Acts chapter 20. As Paul is speaking to those elders from Ephesus, he challenges them to pay attention to what they're doing. In verse 28, "Be on guard for yourselves and for the flock." And he goes on to say, "There are going to be wolves which will come." If we go to the book of Revelation and read the letter that Jesus wrote to the church of Ephesus, it seems that this prophecy came true. This church ended up having trouble. Paul said the trouble was in part going to come from the eldership. So it's interesting to me as he's talking to these elders about what to do, some things he does is, first of all, he talks about his own example. He says, "Here's how I've tried to act among you. I prayed that I've acted in a godly way. I ask you to act the same way." And he's going to challenge them to think about how they act, to be givers, to take care of others, etc. But it's interesting that a central piece of his advice to the elders is, pay attention to yourselves. Make sure that you don't become part of the problem. So one of the first things elders need to do if they want to protect the flock is make sure that what they live and what they teach is God's will and God's way. But also they can protect the flock by being careful about what others teach the flock. If we look here in Titus chapter 1, verses 9 through 13, he's just been talking about the qualifications of elders, and we refer in verse 9 to the fact that they were to hold on to the Word so they could teach and exhort. Because he talks about the fact that there were already false teachers in the church at Crete, where Titus is when Paul writes this letter, but there were false teachers that he said were leading astray whole families. So why is it so important that elders know the Bible? Why is it so important that elders be able to teach? Because they need to make sure that people are exposed spiritually and scripturally to things which will help them be healthy spiritually and will not lead them astray or cost them their souls. So I want us to see that elders are providers to help provide for physical and spiritual needs of the congregation in times of struggle. But they're also protectors, protecting souls, because remember what Peter himself said. Remember, 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, he talks about the role of elders as shepherds. And then down in verse 8, he says, "For the devil is a roaring lion seeking to devour us." Why is it that elders need to be so vigilant in protection? Because the devil is so vigilant, and he never takes a day off. Next, I want us to think about precede. If you look over in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 2, he says, "Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, exercising authority, not under compulsion, but voluntarily, according to the will of God, not for sordid gain, but with eagerness, nor yet as lording it over those allotted to your charge, but proving to be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the unfading crown of glory." In John chapter 10, Jesus talks about the good shepherd. And it says, "The good shepherd, he calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out." Now, I'm highlighting on the screen five W's that I think embody what it means to be one who precedes. And I want you to notice the bookends. At the beginning is way, and at the end is whip. Shepherds lead from the front. They guide the way. That doesn't mean that you won't ever see a shepherd behind the sheep, but generally speaking, when he's moving out in a new direction, he guides from the front. If any driving's done, it's done by the dogs. They kind of keep them hemmed in. But the shepherd led the way. He doesn't drive them. He doesn't have a whip or a stick per se that is behind them whipping them. Every once in a while, if a sheep gets caught in the bush or gets out of the way, he might gently take his stick and prod them back into the way. But generally, the shepherd leads from the front. And that's the New Testament picture of elders. Elders lead from the front. They are to live a godly example that others can readily follow. And they don't drive the sheep with a whip. They're not lording it over the congregation. The idea is to be domineering and obsessive. The idea is of leading for the benefit of the led instead of the benefit of the leader. That's exactly what's being discussed in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33, when he's talking about leadership in the home. When he talks about husbands being leaders, he says, "Lead like Christ who gave up his life for the sheep." He led for the benefit of the led. And so that means I lead from the front. That means if there's gunfire, I'm the first one that's going to get the bullets. It means I'm going to try to set an example that the flock can follow, that I'm going to lead through love, not through lording. He also talks about the fact that shepherds need to be willing to lead. Now that doesn't mean there won't be some apprehension. That doesn't mean there won't be some concern. That doesn't mean that if you're approached to be an elder, you won't for a moment say, "Man, this is a huge responsibility. I don't know if I can handle it." In fact, I would say if that's your attitude, you're exactly where God needs you to be. Because if your attitude is, "I can handle it," you probably don't need to be an elder. But if your attitude is, "I'm a little bit scared, I'm a little bit overwhelmed, but God can handle this, and God can work me through this," then we're where God needs us to be. Timothy was uncertain at times. When they first came to Moses, he wasn't ready to go to Egypt, but he became willing. And so I want us to realize that there should be a willingness to serve. We shouldn't have to coerce people to lead God's people. And that as we lead, we should lead in accordance with God's will. If you go again over to 1 Peter chapter 5 and elsewhere, he reminds shepherds or elders that they are ultimately guided by the chief shepherd, Jesus Christ, and will answer to Him. Also, he says not to lead for wealth, not to lead for anything personal we will get if we serve as an elder or if a man serves as an elder. The fourth thing I want us to talk about, and this lesson will be yours, is personal. Again, look in John chapter 10. At the end of verse 3, he says, "He calls his own sheep by name and he leads them out. He goes ahead of them and the sheep follow him because they know his voice." He goes on to say, "I know my own and my own know me." There will be times when herds will come together at the same watering place. And what is fascinating, I am told, is that when you have a number of sheep herds together, that when they separate them, they might get all mixed in together. But when the different shepherds start calling out to their sheep, the sheep will disentangle themselves because they know the voice of their shepherds. Someone has said that if a general is too far out in front of his army, he may be mistaken for the enemy. And in my opinion, this is one of the greatest dangers in the eldership in the Lord's church, is that the eldership becomes a detached group separated from the sheep. Now, I haven't read this book, but I know that there is a book out about eldership that says they smell like sheep. The idea is that elders ought to smell like sheep. In other words, if you're around a shepherd, you know what he smelled like? He smelled like sheep because he was around sheep all the time. He wasn't detached off in a separate room making decisions about the sheep, and they just kind of wandered around as best they could. He was with the sheep, providing for them, protecting them, preceding them. He was connected and involved in their lives. In my opinion, it is impossible to be a shepherd of souls if I don't know the sheep I'm shepherding. And so elders need to have an intimate, close relationship with those that they are leading. Would you take out your psalm books and turn to the hymn of encouragement? I've just tried to briefly today to summarize that being an elder means to be a shepherd, providing, protecting, preceding, and living in a personal relationship. I remember one day when I was traveling from Cameron, Arizona, a little 30-minute stretch, I guess it was, over to the Grand Canyon. And I remember we stopped at a little shop there to look at some gifts, and Miss Johnsy and I, we tried to hit all of those we could going by. But I remember we stopped at one, and there was a shepherd, a shepherdess in this case, with some sheep just across the road. Of course, I had my camera around my neck, so I ran and over started taking pictures. But there was one moment, you know, they're kind of working along, and you couldn't even see the shepherdess because as soon as she saw somebody with a camera, she went and hid. And so all you had were the sheep and the sheepdogs. And they were just kind of going along, grazing, just kind of meandering in the direction the shepherdess wanted to go then, taking their time. But then they noticed me. And they stopped and they looked. And as you look at this picture, can you see the four sheep? They're all looking at me. They're all saying, "What in the world is that?" Why do I have that picture? Because I want to remind shepherds, they're looking. We're looking. And we're watching to know if you love us. We want to know you genuinely care. We want to know that you love the Lord. We want to know that the mission of your life is that all of us, the entire flock, get to be in heaven with God. And I want to challenge all of us to realize that not all of us are elders. I'm not an elder. But all of us are being watched by somebody. So it's easy on a lesson like this to say, "Oh, well, we got off easy today. He talked about those guys." But there's a child, there's a neighbor, there's a friend, there's a co-worker, there may even be an enemy that is watching us. What are they going to see? Are they going to see somebody that loves and cares and is walking in the ways of the Lord? And then most of all, who ultimately is it we have our eyes on? Because in 1 Peter chapter 5, what he says to the shepherds of the individual congregations is, your shepherd is Jesus Christ. Shepherds will be good shepherds as long as they keep their eyes on Jesus Christ. Sheep will be godly sheep if they keep their eyes on Jesus Christ. So as we get ready to sing this invitation song, my question is simple. Where are our eyes? What are we looking at? And as we look at Jesus, I think we'll also end up looking at ourselves. And we'll begin to say, am I walking in His pathway? He's leading me. He has His rod and staff to protect me, but am I wandering out into the wilderness? If I need to come to Him in repentance and rededicate my life to Him as a child of God, do it. If I've never been a part of His fold, I've never expressed my faith in repentance, confession, and baptism, do it. Because the only way I can go through the valley of the shadow of death without fear is if the Good Shepherd is my shepherd. Won't you come as we stand and sing?